member came to Jesus. He wanted to follow, but he wasn't willing to pay the price and identify with him. And then you remember, especially Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost you're persuading me. You're getting through to me. I like what I see. It's like the story of my father was a head of an office or part of an office or something in a warehouse at one time, and the big boss called him up and said, Russ, said you could go places with this company and up in management if you just, you know, party a little and drink a little and, you know, and joke over the boys and so forth, you know, if you wouldn't be so kind of straight, you know, if you would, and then the religionist, you know, if you would just, he said, you know, we could do things for you. My father stood there and told him about Jesus Christ and his commitment and so forth, and tears ran down his cheeks, and he said, I wish I had what you've got. Can't do anything for you, but I wish I had what you've got. Not willing to pay the price. And so there is today countless millions. They believe on him. They will acknowledge him. They'll say to you, I wish I had what you've got. But they will not identify with Jesus. They will not identify with him. But then the Holy Ghost age came in. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit began to deal with hearts, many came in. He began to woo and draw them, and they began to came in and were willing to walk with God. And so, in these last days, there is a Holy Spirit age. God is moving in this century. And there are people who are becoming willing to walk with him that before times were not willing to believe and walk in him. And I believe as this age closes, and we see this old nation go down the drain, we see anarchy, we see threat of world atomic annihilation, we see race riots, we see burnings in the cities, we see problems, and it's going to wax worse and worse and more ungodly. There's going to be more and more people panicking and more people becoming willing to have something, some life, something to stabilize them. And as they see the corruption, some of them are going to turn from that thing. This happened in the days of pagan Rome, when the more they saw the attitude of the Christians during persecution, and the more they saw the attitude of the Romans during persecution, the more they were turned off on their own people, and the more they turned to Christ. And this is going to happen. The more they see Jesus in the last days, they're going to become willing, and the Holy Ghost is working in this hour. The stumbling block, of course, in Christ's day was the fact that Christ suffered and died in the flesh. Even Peter said, Lord, it shall not be so with you. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I know who's talking to you. That's Satan talking. So we're not always quite so quick to admit that the devil talking to us. You know, you say certain words and that's the devil, brother. Are you calling me a devil? No, I'm saying that he put the words in your mind and you unwittingly spoke out that which is against the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you do it? Well, I can't do it. Jesus already said that you and him together can. Well, I'll never be able to. Well, that's just for them. You see, all these things, they're really devil's doctrines. You need to say, get behind me, Satan. I won't listen to those lies. But oh, how we're offended if somebody reminds us that what we speak may not come from Jesus or our own mind, but from the pit. Jesus reminded Peter, you love me, but you don't know what you're saying. And because you don't understand this, you have given way, because of your emotions and your feeling, you've given away to a doctrine of the devil. That's the same stumbling block today, not only in what they call the slaughterhouse religion, and so the National Council of Churches have taken out of books all over America, hymnals, songs about the blood of Jesus Christ, get all those bloody songs out of the book. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, the Scripture teaches. They've gotten those things out of the book, and the virgin birth and all the other things. And not only that, but it's a stumbling block in the eyes of many, many, many Christians that they have to suffer. He that suffers with me shall reign with me. Be patient in tribulation. In this world you shall have tribulation. But a servant is not greater than his master. they shall hate you. Beware when all men speak well of you. All these things show us this. And to die to self, he that denieth not himself and taketh up my cross and follows me is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Except you hate your father and your mother and your sister and your brother and your own life also, you're not worthy of being my disciple. He doesn't mean to have animosity towards. He just means to esteem less in such a position that the opposite end of the scale as far as considering what the will of God is, as though you hated them when you made a decision for God. And yet how many Christians are teaching this? They're saying, well, I just wanted to please my mother, so I started going to Bible college. I was going to go, but I decided to go to good old Stanford U first or something, up here to, and so please my folks for a year first. They're not hating the father and the mother and their own life also. They're not taking the way of Jesus first. Well, I would go to church, but my husband doesn't want me to. He feels like I should. You know, he works a lot, and he wants me to be home with him on Sundays. And, well, I would go, but, you see, making other people first and the fear of man instead of the fear of God. And not dying to self. They don't want to die to self. They don't want to. They want everybody to know how much money they get. They want to blow. They want to sound the trumpet. They want to put the flag up. They want to raise man's ego and clap about man and big do's about man and my big face on the cover and all the words about me and come hear me in person and all that kind of stuff. See, everything opposite of what Jesus is saying. And this is the stumbling block today. They do not want to deny themselves. They want to have everything. They want to just add Jesus to their bag or whatever else they're doing. They want to walk in the world and have Jesus too. And it's all your legalist. You see, anything from obeying the Word of God and suffering with Him. Suffering with Him, the average Christian concept today is if you have to suffer, you must have done something wrong. Brother, you're down there on the suffering road, get up on the blessing pack. There's glory up here on the blessing pack. But you're not on the suffering road. You don't have to suffer. Go over and lay your hands in that Cadillac and claim it in Jesus' name for yourself. I don't touch anything less than $600 suits myself. I just claim them from Jesus. Say, I want sunshine. If it rains, I want sunshine for my pick. I want sunshine. I want God to change all the skies for my little petty little birthday parties I'm having, and I want the finest of everything, and I'm just going to work on blessing pack principles where I can get my money back and double it and triple it and 100 times. And suffering? Who needs suffering? We're in the Holy Ghost age. They know not a straw about what Jesus is saying. And you know who's going to have suffering in the last days? They are. They haven't learned to suffer. It's going to be horrible. They're not going to be able to take it. Things get rough. They're the type that go to pieces and fall and backslide. Paul says, "All that I might know him and the power of his resurrection be made conformable unto his sufferings." They'd forgotten that part. And so, something must have gone wrong. You must be out of line with God if you have to suffer. You know, there's so many Christians that believe that. If something didn't go right, you're out of the will of God. Well, then the Apostle Paul really missed it. Because look at his ministry. And Jesus must have missed it. And John the Baptist must have missed it. Oh, don't. John the Baptist. Now listen, brother. Listen, you're getting people up disturbed. Don't you know you're upsetting people? Don't say things against the state religion. Preach a positive gospel. Get rid of that negative stuff. I heard the other day that you said, "Oh, you generation of vipers who have forewarned you to flee from the truth from the wrath to come." Brother, that's not the way to win Jews and influence Greeks. You can't do that. You'll never amount to anything. Recognize which side your bread is buttered on. See? That's where they operate today. Everybody is out to scratch each other's back and butter up one another. And no, I don't dare do that because I'll lose that consideration. I don't dare do this because I might lose some good tithes in the church. And I don't dare do this and I don't dare do that and so forth. Anybody who gives big money but won't live for God is not a good tither. He's a poor tither who gives big. If God can't run his kingdom without him, God isn't very big. Stumbling block today is that people don't know that this is not heaven. He gives us some heaven down here in the valley of the shadow of death. And the whole creation groaneth waiting for redemption. But there was a redemption, and this is not it. We're looking for a city which has foundations. And there's a little bit of suffering to do for Jesus. And because we're not willing to suffer for him, we backslide at every little temptation. Every wind blows us over. We fall into sin so easily and so rapidly and up in the flesh and quit and all this because we're not willing to suffer for him. Because we've got a sunshine religion. Like John Wesley, who went to America to convert the Indians. And got in a storm at sea and got about shipwrecked and scared to death and came back with a fruitless ministry saying, I went to America to convert the Indians. But alas, who shall convert me? For I have but a fair summer religion. I couldn't stand in the storm. The Moravians stood, but I could not. We've got to have a sunshine in our heart when it's winter on the outside. Some people, are like a chameleon. They change whatever colors around them. And if it's sunshine outside, there's sunny inside. When it's winter outside, there's winter inside. We've got to keep the sun shining all the time. When situations go like this, we should go like this. Paul says, I know how both to abase and to abound. Don't collapse because when I was in prison, I'm able to comfort you the same as when I'm out of prison. You don't find this prison epistle saying, oh, woe is me. Oh, pray for me, brother. I'm in trouble. Oh, if they do this to me, I might die. And, you know, and all you people out there, you know, and quick rush him and turn in quickly petitions. And he wasn't doing this. He just comforting them, wasn't asking them for anything for himself. Just comforting them. Now, you stick with it. Don't get weary in well-doing. Have joy in the Lord. Keep on in God. Don't let this trouble you. See? We need some stability, some strength. We need to bring our children up that way, lest they fall and can't make it. We've got to look at our sufferings and our self-denials in the light of the cross. See, the trouble with the Jews is they trusted in their own interpretation of Scripture. And their own interpretation of Scripture was wrong. And that's what a lot of people are doing today. They're trusting in their own interpretation of Scripture. It's not the biblical interpretation of Scripture. It's their own interpretation. Over and over and over and over again I hear it. Well, he went out to work for Jesus. He went out the highway and he got with his bike. I don't know, and he was hitchhiking and he got a ride fine after about an hour and got out to a certain place and didn't get picked up and so forth. So he figured, well, Lord, I guess I missed it. Or what did I do wrong, you know? And I guess I better go back. In other words, Lord, if I'm going to start out in a ministry for you, I want you to make things go click, 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 click. Keep me from rain. Keep me from any problems. Help me get rides fast with my thumb. They want to use God for a hot water bottle. See? Just for so many spiritual aspirin when they're sick. And they just call them like they do a doctor, you know, and when they hang up when they feel good and they call them when they feel bad. And send me so many spiritual aspirin. Thank you, Lord. I feel better now. Thanks. See when I'm feeling bad again. See? God's just a Santa Claus. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Gimme this, gimme that, gimme that. Never saying, Lord, what can I do for you? Selfish, carnal Christians. They all want to go around being the sugar of the earth instead of being the salt of the earth. All out there with their powdered blue suits on and no fancy old man in waved hair and all of this. Out there with the high-heeled shoes and just trying to be, you know, trying to be suave with all the people and offend nobody and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Instead of preaching a good old-fashioned gospel where they'll die to sin and walk with Jesus Christ. They all got all those supper rooms. Supper rooms every place, but not many upper rooms, see. Not much prayer. Fear of man instead of fear of God. That's the stumbling block right there. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. See, God's ways are not our ways. There's a way that seemeth right to man, Scripture says, but it doesn't seem right to God. God's ways are foolishness to man, but man's ways are foolishness to God, too, he says. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see, it's not meat and drink. It's righteousness. Now, self-denial is opposite to the natural mind. Because the natural mind thinks that the kingdom of God is meat and drink. That's their concept of the kingdom of God. I'll come in and I'll really get fed a lot of bread and I'll be able to have wine of rejoicing and woo, am I going to have a glorious time. This is going to be glory. Well, it should be glory. But it's not all glory. If you follow Apostle Paul around in Christ, you'll find out it's not all glory. Paul bore the marks of Jesus in his body. They think that it's material gain and physical well-being. But self-denial of the flesh suits the spiritual man. It suits the real spiritual man, the spiritual mind and the spirit within that's looking for righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because the spirit man cares not a straw for the flesh like the soulish man does. And the spirit man wants righteousness and joy and peace. And the spiritual man wants to get rid of the flesh so he can have his rapport with God. Your spirit man wants rapport with God, and he's being stifled all the time by your soul because you won't give him into him. You're getting demands from God through the spirit. You're getting demands from your body through the flesh. And the soul would rather give into the flesh. And so the soul is always stiff-arming the Holy Spirit and in his spirit. So his spirit gets stiff-armed all the time. But the spirit man wants to get rid of the flesh. That's why you feel two different ways. You have a conflict between your spirit and your soul. Your soul is giving into the flesh. The flesh is demanding all these things. The flesh doesn't feel like praying. That's hard work. The flesh doesn't get anything out of it. Hardly until you get certain results, but the flesh has to be a servant of the spirit, and so all the spirit man gets everything out of it. And the soul is lived in this body of demand so much, it's constantly giving way to the flesh rather than to the spirit. God's kingdom is not religious observances. It's not distinctions of meats and drinks. It's not in any externals or in any thou shalt nots. They asked one Assembly of God girl who wasn't doing too well in the Lord, well, what does your church believe? Well, our church believes you can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't go to dances, you can't gamble. They said, no. I didn't ask what they don't believe. I asked what they do believe. And that's the concept of many people about Christianity. Well, Christianity is something that you can't go out and go to shows and you can't take dope, and you can't drink, you can't curse, you can't. It's a limiting religion. No, my brother. It is an expanding thing. It is life. It is love. It's power. It's a sound mind. It's being a rising up to a superman above the natural with glory and joys forevermore. But you're walking in a world that's Christ-hating. And we're in a world that's been sin-cursed. And the devil is raging. And there's many dark valleys and storms. But God gives a light within during the storm. We must obey God's thou shalt nots. But that's not the essential element of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is spiritual. And is found in the spirit and in truth. He that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's found in a life-giving and a life-transforming power, not church-going. All things that are done in the flesh are just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal unless they're prompted by the Spirit. That which is done of the flesh, of itself, you know, I don't care how religious it might be, it's just a clashing brass. It doesn't mount a thing. You can genuflect 12 times down the aisle. It doesn't mean a thing. Not a thing. Put your lovely candles up and come out and kneel and have the priest put a wafer on your tongue. And you can bow your hands and you can go through all these externals. And brother, you're dead. You haven't got a thing. This is a spiritual thing. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't be intellectual. It's got to be from the heart of man, from the very spirit that God has created and where you're spiritually plugged in. There's a two-way current flowing. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. Righteousness in respect to God. peace in respect to your fellow man. You've got peace with him, no warfare. Joy in respect to self. You've got joy inside because you've got peace with man and righteousness with God. See, nobody lives in Christ unto himself. Well, I have my rights. I'll do my own thing. No, no, my friend. No man's an island to himself. You can't do your own thing in Christ. You have to do his thing. And if everybody does Christ's thing, we're all doing the same thing. The kingdom of God is not abstinence from earthly pleasure either. Some people fancy that the kingdom of God, the essential element, there is abstinence. It's be like an Essene or be a monk to go into recluse. The world is evil, so get into recluse. Like the Amish people, you can't drive an automobile. You can't own a telephone. You can't saw with a power saw. You can't do those things because they're of the world. See? But you can buy lumber, saw it by a power. You can borrow a telephone. You can ride in a taxi. See? Double standards. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm just teaching how people get confused and mixed up in their minds in these things. It's not denying yourself something. This Lent, for example. Well, deny yourself something at Lent. But what those people deny at Lent doesn't help them one iota. And there's no appreciation in God for them. The heathens do the same thing. They call them broken glass. They raise their hand up, but they can't put it down for their gods. They throw the babies to the alligators. All for God. Sacrifice. They do it in the island. They throw babies off the bluff to appease their gods and to give a sacrifice. God doesn't want your babies that way. He doesn't want you to stop eating nuts or meat or something else. That doesn't help God whether you eat meat on Friday or Thursday or not. God wants you to deny yourself sin. Indulgences. He says to use the world, but not as to abusing it. He made this earth to use. This world is not evil. As far as the earth is concerned, the earth is not evil at all. But he said, don't abuse it. In other words, when you eat, go ahead and take it up, dig it up and eat. Eat the potatoes and pick off of the trees and eat it. It's good for you. But don't eat and eat and eat and gorge and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat until it's just as easy to jump over you as walk around you. That's abusing it. And don't, that's true with anything. You can drink too much water. You can die from too much water. Don't do anything. Don't exercise and exercise and exercise and all day long you do nothing but exercise. 12 hours a day. You're out of balance. In anything. Don't, and those type of things, don't take the world things and go way overboard with the thing. Just use it what you need and go on your way. But some people think you're going to have one pair of shoes and you're going to have only one suit and you have to live in a very, very modest little shack where God is. That's real Christian living, brother. No, no, no. God says, I'll bless you. I'll multiply. All through the Bible, he says, I'll make you fat. I'll bless you with all these things. He never did say, he's not a stingy God. But on the other hand, if people want to, they want to put in 5,000 and they want to get 50,000 back and they want to wheel and deal and they want to abuse. Until everything is money, become lovers of money. They haven't got the balance in God. The kingdom of God is not observances to external forms, no matter how Pentecostal those forms may be. It's so easy to talk about the Episcopalian who's genuflexing and the Catholic who's counting his beads and folding his hands like this. But if we fancy that hands up, which was in the Psalms and was practiced for 500 years after Christ before they got into folding their hands, if we fancy that this is our mark of spirituality, I can raise my hand. He can't raise his hand. I can raise my arm. I'm free. He's not, see? Now that song is a hand-raising song. That one's not. And all of a sudden, see, well, I kneel, I've got to get on the floor. I mean, if you don't get on the floor, brother, you don't have any place, you know. I mean, you're still a kneeling Christian. I'm a floor Christian. See? I mean, I fall under the power. I don't know about you, but I believe in going down, brother. I mean, you know, see? You can get yourself all wrapped up into Pentecostal, quote, observances. Well, you know, you got people stand up behind them, waiting to catch them when they go down. Yeah, sure. That makes it easy for them to go down because somebody's behind me. I say, no, don't put anybody behind them. God wants to knock them down. He knows how to knock them down. God will take care of them. Not too many people will go down if there's nobody behind them. But when God's behind them, they'll go down. I've seen people fall in the power of God. I never saw anybody get hurt in the power of God in my life. But I've seen some go like this and to check to see if somebody was back though. Under the power, you know. Self-induced. No, if God knocks you down, he's not going to hurt you. Wouldn't worry me a bit. Don't put anybody behind him. I pray for him. Let them go down and hit flat. They won't hurt themselves. God knows what he's doing. No Pentecostal forms either allowed. The kingdom of God is not zeal for orthodoxy, nor for scholarship. Well, bless God, we study and study and study and study until we're wiser than any 10 men. Well, go ahead and study till you're wise. That's good, but that is not the essential element of the kingdom of God, brother. Don't get all wrapped up in the fact that you're so studied. On the fact that, well, we're prayers, not just we pray, you know, we pray 9 hours a day. I mean, we're on our knees, brother, morning till night. Well, get up and get your feet underneath your prayers and go out and do something for the Lord. It isn't the length of time you pray, like Jesus said, like the heathen do. It isn't the length of time you pray. Don't get wrapped up in your clock. It isn't how many Hail Marys you say or how many Hail Gods you say all day long. It's how you live that counts. The prayer is for a purpose. Not just praying for praying's sake. The prayer is to put you in a place where you can do and live for God. So you can be careful, you know. You begin to run off the ditch and look for one area or another, see, to maybe placate the fact that you won't quit sinning. I what are you praying 9 hours a day for? Well, the real truth of the matter is because that makes me feel spiritual. Then I can go ahead and I can have my sin over here and still feel spiritual because I pray so much. See? If you had only about 5 ounces of believing faith and willingness, you could pray 1 hour and go 10 times further. But the kingdom of God is righteousness in our faith and in our life, and peace with God and with man, and joy in trials or in blessings. Now, every kingdom is noted for something. The Babylonian kingdom was noted for absolute rule in the monarchy and in the vast dimensions. The Grecian kingdom was noted for the arts, and the architecture, and the athletics. The Roman kingdom was noted for its law and its military order. The old British kingdom was noted for its worldwide colonies. The old French for the humanitarian and atheistic philosophies and what they called the Age of Reason, human rationalistic reasoning. The Russian noted for the zeal for world conquest in this day and age. The United States is noted for its industrial and financial enterprises. The old Solomonic kingdom, Kingdom of Solomon, noted for the vastness and the grandeur. The kingdom of God is noted for its righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness in the Holy Ghost, peace in the Holy Ghost, joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, righteousness and peace and joy determines everything in our life? Yeah, sure. Stop and think about it. Righteousness is what you are as far as rightness with God. Your peace is having all good conscience before God and having no schismatic spirit, but having a spirit of unity. And your joy is the result that comes with an unbounding feeling of blessing inside and of that which keeps you really happy in the Lord. And that determines our eating and our drinking, doesn't it? So, you go out, would you have some wine before dinner? On a cocktail or whatever. Your righteousness determines how you eat and you drink. It determines how you worship, doesn't it? Your righteousness, your peace with God, your joy in God, all determine how you worship. Some people, they open their mouth at first when they sing, they sit back down, like this, and they don't, because they don't have a peace with God. They don't have joy inside. Those who got joy inside, you know, there's an exuberance that has to come out. Oh, I don't mean you're necessarily as loud or as exuberant as the next person, because you may not be as emotional as they are, and that's all right. That's not the measure of it. But there will be an exuberance when you're full of joy. Your feet will dance inside your heart, at least, and there's something that's going to happen inside of you, and it's going to show. Won't last too long. We make more. Every single way possible would make the package get bigger, but make the stuff smaller and put him out of everything for the almighty dollar. Unlike Hollywood entertainment. Now ask the question, do we, maybe I should change it and say to you, have the sign of the kingdom? If you do not have the sign of the kingdom, you act like it. So that intersect is walking through the Spanish cap on, oh, wonderful Jesus, praise the Lord, glory to God, put us in a, why is it in a sec? Well, in the name of Jesus, you don't forget that way in the Spanish cap, it kicks you out, say, you know, it's fine. And like that, drink and booze and belongs to the kingdom, as the Bible says, the kingdom of God is righteousness. Do you, are you righteous? Are you walking the right life before God? If your life is contrary to God and worldly, and your mind and heart, says, yeah, man. In the first place, yeah, is not a very good term to use. Plight and man, I mean, it's supposed to be a woman. You call a man. I'm a man. I've got a name. No, see, the whole worldly slant and philosophy doesn't put us, doesn't make you think. You know, if you put up a phone, and if you has to do you. I mean, see, what I'm trying to say is, people say, well, yeah, but does that mean, yeah, but if you take, you know, change, I'm trying to tell you that you don't include that in the name of God. And a lot of other things like that. As you're not a Holy Ghost preacher, you better go back and change your wardrobe a little bit. And listen, say now, listen to myself on the tape. I've been playing all day, talking to my wife and kids and business associates and friends at work. Turn around and say, now, does this sound like a Pentecostal preacher talking? Or who does it sound like talking? And if it doesn't sound like a man of God talking or a woman of God talking, you should all be women of God. We need to go back and get straightened out the system and stuff. Right? How about the rest of it? I mean, more trouble in this life. Because a man who's sold out for God, he wants to struggle there, so he's seen the peace. And the person out in the world walking in darkness with knowing you better, he feels like doing it, he does it. He doesn't have to have any strain on it. He just feels like doing it, he does. He has all kinds of problems hit him, but he's still not continually walking in the spirit that he can in no wise fulfill the strong cravings of the lower nature. For the flesh is strong desire down the spirit, but it's strong desire down the flesh, and you're locked in mutual warfare one against another, the Bible says. And that's the person who's in struggle. And so you would say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death-doomed body? And the answer comes back from heaven, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And if you allow him, who are not in condemnation, walk in the spirit, not after the flesh. The spiritual mind is surely good. Is that our life is leading the pattern of our soul. Is not enough just to be forgiven. Some Christians will join us, they think, to just ask God to forgive them, they'll be all right. But my friend, wake up. God is not mocked. That which you sow, you shall also reap. I know spirit-filled ladies who do not have a husband, but they've got a baby in the womb, and Jesus has forgiven them. They tried and repented when they found themselves in Christ. And God did in his mercy forgive us. So all's okay, huh? No, not all is not okay. There's a living baby in the womb. They have to make a difficult choice because both two roads are open and neither one is good. See? All life reading the pattern of our soul, not God's forgiveness. That's just mercy. It's not our legal standing with Christ that's shaping our life. That just gives us the power and the ability to lift up some of our hands to our heads to pray and ask for his power and focus to go on so we shouldn't even get up out of the mud to start. But our life is still reading the pattern of our life. And it becomes convenient as we walk. And this, so we must live for him, you guys. We must live for him. And this means more than doing for him. And this means also fellowshipping with him. It means loving him. It means trusting him. It means thinking like him. It means getting on his side. It means becoming a part of him. It's becoming an extension of him. Now that the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom, by the power of God, of the resurrection, every false son of Adam can now walk right into the Holy of Holies of our Father and talk to him directly with him. The Old Testament is your kingdom of truth. A whole kingdom of mediators came out of
How can you be a mediator between two and three nobles?
Unless you can represent them. You can represent them. You got man to God, because we're man. He's a king's son. Under tutors right now. But we shall rule with him. Reign with him and praise the name of Jesus. I've been part of the message, dying with him. And then I could add right here that we might live with him and walk in the newness of life. Let's walk with Jesus. Look in every day.